Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All due respect. Yeah, you said that already. All due respect. Stupid people doing stupid things. I see no liner, so let's go, Rich.
All right, I'm going to preface this story with two statements. Number one, it's a good thing the Miami Marlins didn't make the playoffs, because if they had a home game, it's possible nobody would show up. And number two, Derek Jeter's got a long way to go.
What?
The Miami Marlins came in 2018. The numbers are in. The regular season is over. The Marlins averaged 10,013 fans per game in Miami this season. I mean, they didn't even crack a million fans through the turnstiles in Miami. 811,104 people saw the 81 home games the Marlins staged in Miami. And as far as...
Can you blame them?
As far as who's next, it's not even close. Tampa Bay, upstate, MLB really killing it in the Sunshine State.
Yeah, great sports state.
Tampa Bay averages 14,258. It's still 4,000 more than the Marlins.
Oh, and over 81 games. That's a lot. Technically, this is a Florida story, is it not?
I suppose it is, yes.
It takes place in Florida. Do you want the banjos, Rich?
I'll take them anywhere, anytime I can get them. That's okay.
There you go.
There is a non-Florida sort of payoff to this story. But let me also throw in that there are only four teams in Major League Baseball, the Marlins, the Rays, and two others that averaged under 20,000 per home game this season.
Okay.
Can you name them, Sean Pendergast?
Can I name those teams? Is one of them the Chicago White Sox?
No.
Okay. Is one of them, I'm just trying to think of some real down, is Arizona one of them?
Nope.
Now, Arizona was actually decent. San Diego.
Nope.
Really? How about Baltimore?
Baltimore's just over 20,000. They're number five on the list. 20,053.
Cincinnati.
One of these two teams. Nope. One of these two teams is a bit of a surprise to me, at least.
Okay. Well, how about the Padres?
I just named them, yeah.
Anybody here work in TV?
Yeah.
I've never worked in TV before.
It's been a good segment for you.
My highlight reel.
Go ahead, Rich.
In the interest of time.
Yeah.
The Pirates and the A's.
Okay.
Pittsburgh and Oakland averaged under 20,000 a season. I'm not surprised about the A's.
Yeah, and
I'm a little surprised about Pittsburgh.
Well, I'm surprised by it, not because the team is any good, but that is a beautiful ballpark.
Oh,
that's
it's
a phenomenal place to watch a game. It's top five for sure, and it might be top three. You're right. It's really, really good. Beautiful view of downtown Pittsburgh,
right.
All the bells and whistles. It's just the team's not very good, but during the summer, the weather's pretty decent in Pittsburgh. That surprises me. The A's is not surprised. That's not surprising. And the only reason I didn't think of the A's is I was just thinking of bad teams.
Yeah.
They're not a bad team. They play in the wild card game tonight.
Well, what if I told you that a college baseball team averaged more fans per home game than a major league baseball team? Now, I started this by saying the Marlins averaged a paltry 10,013 per home game.
Are we supposed to guess which college team averaged more?
I suppose that's a fun game to play, yes.
LSU.
It is LSU.
Yeah.
It feels obvious. LSU averaged 10,786 per home game.
They love their college baseball.
This season, several hundred more than the Miami Marlins average per home game this season. Even Ole Miss put up a huge number, 8,900 per game for Ole Miss.
Yeah.
SEC college baseball, very popular. Arkansas averages 8,000 per home game.
Yep. Alma mater of Dallas Keuchel.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas Keuchel.
Right.
Yep.
So with all due respect, Derek Jeter's got his work cut out for him.
He does.
To get him back in their seats.
He does. I like those numbers. I love number games like that. He does. Did you ever read the article about the things he's been implementing internally there, Rich?
Some of it, yeah.
The long-form article?
Yes.
I feel I feel better about Derek Jeter as an owner after reading that article than I did after watching like his first five or six public moves that he made.
It's obviously a strategy that basically throws the first few years under the bus.
Well, the baseball product for sure, but he was making moves behind the scenes with staffers and with quote unquote Marlin legends, you know, cutting them loose from six-figure contracts. Yeah. Like he was cutting all of the meat off of the bone.
I think the biggest PR blunder was when he fired the scout by calling him in the hospital when he was in for surgery.
Yeah, he may have miscalculated on that one.
You're right.
My biggest takeaway from that article, and I forget where, my apologies to whoever wrote it, I forget where it was. I think it was ESPN.com. And it was a long form, like really long form article. Like you need to carve out some time to read it. But it was pretty engrossing in that I've been very critical of Derek Jeter as the owner, especially when you juxtapose it to Derek Jeter, the baseball player and playboy.
Right.
Right? Like, that's a dude who went about his business maybe in the most perfect way you possibly could for a major celebrity in a city like New York.
He has
never
always,
a scandal.
He always has and always will deny the existence of the gift baskets.
That's fine. Rich, even if they existed, I don't think it's a bad strategy on the way out the door to give the gift basket. So I was very critical of him as an owner because it felt like everything he touched was turning to lead. My biggest takeaway from the article is Derek Jeter is 1,000,000,000% invested in making the Marlins, in making the whole thing work. Like he's there crack at dawn. Like he's working his ass off. I don't know if it's going to work out with him being the managing partner, I guess. You know, he's very little of the money that's behind the purchase of the Marlins.
Right.
But he is the face of the organization and the face of the ownership group. But he's working as hard at that as he probably worked at being a baseball player, and I think he's very cognizant of a lot of things. He's making sure all the Marlins players learn Spanish,
right?
Because there's so many Hispanic people in the community in Miami, which I think is very, very smart. Just little things like that. So I don't know if his strategy is going to work, but I came away more impressed by Jeter having read that article than I was by just watching him go about his business.
I think the odds-on favorite to try to do what Jeter's doing now in his sport is Peyton Manning.
Probably, yeah. Peyton Manning, Michael Jordan's already doing it in basketball.
Not well.
Not judging by the on the court product. No. I wonder if LeBron will want that someday. If LeBron will want to be an owner of a team.
I feel like he's going to be more in show business than basketball.
That's probably a fair thing to think. I think so too. Gonna be. Yeah, he already is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, have you seen the list of projects LeBron is like his production
it's a
company
long
is
list.
Working on?
And amazingly, he got the lead in the Space Jam reboot. Amazingly,
I need to see his audition film.
Well, he's also exec producer.
Yeah, so. I know. That would be funny if he really had to try out for it though,
yes.
Against like Denzel Washington and other like more accomplished African American
right.
actors. Yeah. All right. My story takes place on an airplane. It takes place on a flight that was an American Airlines flight. Flight 2763 from Phoenix to Boston.
This is a great story.
Okay. Have you ever been really, really drunk on a flight, Rich?
Yes.
I have too. I like drinking on planes.
The only time, only once have I been like really smashed.
Okay.
I mean, I like to have a couple of beers on a flight.
Okay.
But I'm not proud to say that I was on a flight that came back from South Padre once to Houston a few years ago. And I was close to blackout drunk.
Wow, that's not a long flight either. You usually need more time than that to get. You probably were working it in the airport too, I would guess.
Oh yeah,
on the plane.
We went through pregame warmups.
Yeah, I got you. Good way to put it. But you've never done anything. You don't strike me as someone who would do something really stupid if you were drunk on a plane. You would just be very jovial and conversational, and probably slurring the occasional word.
The stupid. I waited till I got off the plane for the stupid. The stupid on the plane was just drinking to excess.
Yeah.
The stupid off the plane was the stop at the bar before I went to baggage claim to get my bag.
That, dude, that's an issue right there.
That's not good.
No.
That's not good.
No. That, I mean, it's awesome. Don't get me wrong. But for the health of Rich Lord Circa, whatever that year was, it probably wasn't the brightest thing to do.
Let's just say the people we were with, it was Jenny and I and another couple, I felt the need to call and apologize the next day.
Oh, okay, so this wasn't...
This was one of the worst drunks of my life.
Okay, so this was not a guy's trip or something like that. You were with Jenny at the time.
Yeah, it was not good. She was not impressed.
Can I ask you how long ago this was?
Yeah, I guess.
It's about how long?
About 4 years ago.
Were you doing the show together at the time?
Yeah. I want to say it was Labor Day 2014.
Oh, that is, Rich, I just assumed it was like 1987 or something.
No, it was not good. It's not good.
And, that is fantastic.
Look, if you're making me tell the story, so I'm going to throw this in.
Okay.
I'm not a whiskey guy. Never have been able to handle whiskey. I can't drink it. Someone should have told me there was whiskey in Bailey's Irish Cream.
Oh, Rich, come on.
I didn't know that.
What are you looking for, a warning label or something?
Somebody should have also told me it's not good to drink that in tumblers.
All right. Well, no, not good. All right, so I'll get to this quickly.
I took up your whole
time. And I'm glad we did this. I'm glad we had this conversation.
This was a stupid person doing stupid things.
And yeah, I could just close it here and say, all due respect, Rich, what the hell were you thinking?
Yeah, I know.
Instead, I will tell you about this man who was on a flight from Phoenix to Boston, and BMAC, I promised to make it fast. This flight had to make an unscheduled landing in Kansas City about 7:45 p.m. a couple of days ago because of a passenger's behavior. So this flight was going from Phoenix to Boston. They had to land in Kansas City at that concentric circle airport that they have there in Kansas City.
Yes.
It was an unruly passenger. He was really, really drunk. And he decided to get up in the middle of the flight. He had boarded the flight with a woman and two dogs. He decided to get up, and he was leaning against the overhead bin.
Right.
And a passenger came by and said, what are you going to do, some pull-ups? So the guy started doing pull-ups on the overhead bin in front of everybody on the plane.
You don't want to be pull-up, dude.
And would not stop doing pull-ups on the overhead bin on a flight that was in the air. He got verbally abusive when they told him to stop doing the pull-ups. So they had to land the flight in Kansas City, and he was escorted off the flight and off of the airplane or airport property. He wasn't arrested or charged. They basically just kind of grabbed him by the seat of his pants, threw him off the property, and said, don't ever come back. According to the FBI, they didn't arrest or charge him. The flight then continued on from Kansas City at about 9:45 p.m. They got in at 1 a.m., which I'm sure, with all due respect, I'm sure the people were thrilled about landing at 1 a.m. in Boston.
I blame it on Bailey's Irish Cream.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, with all due respect. And you lose 3 hours going that way from Phoenix. So, yeah, not good.
No.
So, the guy's just trying to get in a workout, man. He's trying to maximize his minutes.
Can't believe you got me to tell that story.
I'm glad you told it.
Did I mention that I walked double-fisted to baggage claim?
Oh, Rich, I am so glad this was fairly recent, too, because it means it could happen again.
That's when I almost got arrested.
All right.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.